Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, May 5th, 2026. From the front page of the Commercial News, the first story today is titled Gun Violence Weekend, and this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. The community of Danville is expressing their pain following a weekend of gun violence. Eight young people, including minor children, were shot over the weekend in Danville. One of the three shooting incidents resulted in a fatality, leaving seven injured. On Saturday, close to 5 p.m., Danville police officers responded to the second shooting of the weekend in the parking lot of the Riverfront Plaza located at 2 East Main Street. Deputy Chief Doug Miller wrote in a release, "Officers arrived to find a fight involving gunfire. Officers found two people with gunshot wounds. Both individuals were taken to the hospital where, according to the Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden, 22-year-old Ricky Dandridge Jr. of Danville died." Danville Police Chief Christopher Yates said on Monday afternoon that Dominic K. Cotton, a 23-year-old of Danville, was charged with aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon in the incident. Miller said on Sunday, "The other person's condition is not being released at this time." Yates updated that on Monday, stating the second individual is listed in stable condition. The first shooting of the weekend took place on Friday, when three students were shot at while walking home from school on William Street near the train tracks, according to one of the children's mothers, Tanya Fields. In a release, Yates said the after-school shooting occurred around 4:25 p.m. within the 600 block of East William Street. Fields describes it as a typical Friday night with her kids. She said her son, Devin Webb, and two of his friends were walking to their house to play video games. "They all met after school there to walk to the kids' house that was with them," Fields said. "And someone just shot at the boys three times. Two of the three boys got shot in the leg, my son and his friend. My kid or the other children don't even know the people in that house, just random people shooting at kids." According to a release from the Danville Police Department, the report came in through a 911 call. Yates said he was told the individual stated they were walking with another person when they heard two gunshots and were struck by gunfire. Field said that when she got the call that her son had been shot, her heart sank. But she said she felt better after getting to the hospital and realizing he would be okay. "Our innocent children are being affected by gun violence, even by strangers," Fields said. "My son said, wrong place, wrong time, and said now he's going to be basically afraid to go anywhere because he thinks it can happen again." According to Fields, her son will be okay, and she said the other two boys with her son will also be okay, except they are traumatized from the situation. No arrests have been made in the Friday, May 1st shooting, and it remains under active investigation, according to Yates. The final shooting of the weekend happened on Sunday, around 10:50 a.m. Danville police officers arrived at the 900 block of Lewis Lane after a report of shots fired. Community member Kakista Pence said she didn't see the shooting, but heard it and saw blood on the sidewalk from a victim in front of her home. She says she has lived in Danville for the past 5 years. "I don't know where it came from," Pence says about the gunfire. "I just missed it because I came outside to go get my dog, bring him in. Something just told me, bring your dog in. And as soon as that door shut, there were shots, about 15 to 20 shots." She talked with the Commercial News just a few hours after the shooting happened and said during that time there were police investigators outside near her home looking for evidence. She added there were bullets found in the concrete near her house and her neighbors. Once there, officers found three teenagers with gunshot wounds. Yates says a 19-year-old male, an 18-year-old male, and a 17-year-old male were transported to a local hospital where they were listed in stable condition. These investigations remain ongoing. If anyone has further information on any one of these incidents, they should contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers anonymously online at vccrimestoppers.org or by using the mobile app P3 Tips. Or they can call 217-446-TIPS. Next up, we have Community Leadership Responds to Shootings. And this is also by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Following a weekend of gun violence, which left 7 injured and 1 dead, community leaders and organizations are responding with statements and emergency community meetings. The Violence Prevention Coalition of Vermilion County and Project Success of Vermilion County are holding an emergency meeting on Thursday. In response to a series of shootings over the weekend, the Violence Prevention Coalition of Vermilion County and Project Success are organizing an emergency community meeting to bring residents together for support, healing, and coordinated action, Jamie Neitlinger, Violence Prevention Family Outreach Coordinator, said in a media release. The meeting will start at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday at the Laura Lee Fellowship House, located at 212 East William Street. This moment requires the full strength of our community, Neitlinger said. Our families are grieving and our young people are impacted. We are coming together not just to speak about the violence, but to bring real support and resources into the room. Volunteer children mental health advocate Deanne Ryan says events like these and the work Project Success does are invaluable to the community. She is also spearheading an event for parents to learn how to navigate the mental health world. I think if parents knew where to go early on when they see their kids having emotional issues and where they could get help, and where they might be able to get a therapeutic answer, Ryan said. I've always thought that meant good mentors are probably one of the best interventions for kids, because they don't have role models a lot of the time. Ryan is hosting the Children's Mental Health Day Awareness event on Thursday at the Danville Public Library. Current mayoral candidate Reverend Frank McCulloch agreed, saying, his campaign supports efforts like these. We will support all agencies that would try to, curb the violence that's happening in our community, McCulloch said, adding the organization he spearheads is there for the community. We are Three Kings of Peace, and we're open for suggestions. And also, we're supporting other agencies, if so be. McCulloch, like many other local leaders, also released a statement about the recent deadly gun violence. Danville, families are hurting, and my heart is with everyone affected by this senseless violence. 3 days, 3 shootings. It's unacceptable. And as a parent, a neighbor, and your mayoral candidate, I'm hurting too, McCulloch said. We all deserve to feel safe. Our kids, our seniors, and yes, even our grown-ups. As your next mayor, I prioritize safety, support for our police, and invest in programs that give our kids hope. Let's stand united against violence and for a Danville where every child can play outside without fear. Alderwoman Tricia Teague also released a statement on her Facebook page. 3 shootings in 3 days. My heart aches for our city and for every family impacted by gun violence, Teague said. I pray especially for the victims and their families because they're the ones who are hurting most. Teague added that Danville is a community where everyone knows everyone and or is related. There's only one degree of separation from someone who was directly impacted, whether that's victims, witnesses, or first responders. Teague also said she is committed to being a part of the solution. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. released a lengthy statement on Sunday. This weekend, our community experienced a series of violent incidents that have shaken all of us, Williams said in part. Several young people were injured, another life was tragically lost, and additional violence occurred in one of our neighborhoods. My thoughts and prayers are with the victims, their families, and everyone affected. We are responding with urgency. Williams also called the violence unacceptable and said, "We will not allow it to define our city." He then touted what he says is a 60% reduction in violent crime and mentioned several agencies he says have helped decrease the violence. He also hinted at blaming the tragic events on parenting. Parents and guardians must teach, must set clear expectations, and hold their children accountable, Williams wrote. Individuals must make better choices and understand that there are real consequences for their actions. As a community, we cannot look the other way or lower our standards and then be surprised by the outcome. State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, Republican from the 104th District, released a statement on social media. This cannot become the norm. The people of our community deserve to feel safe in their homes and neighborhoods, the post says in part. And he added at the end, but lasting change takes more than enforcement alone. It takes all of us working together toward a safer future for our community. I will be speaking directly with our chief of police and community leaders to ensure law enforcement has the support and resources they need, while also identifying additional steps to confront this violence and prevent it from continuing. And our final story from the front page today is also by Christy Jankowski, and it is titled, Danville Library Hosts Children's Mental Health Awareness Event. Danville. Following a weekend of gun violence involving some minors, local organizers stress the importance of mental health care. When families know where to turn for help, kids are less likely to end up in a hospital bed, a detention center, or a headline, volunteer children mental health advocate Deanne Ryan said. This event is about giving parents a roadmap to real support before a crisis happens. According to the CDC, 1 in 5 children in the county experience a mental health disorder, yet less than half get treatment. Addressing these issues locally, Ryan highlighted in a media release that families in Vermilion County face barriers to accessing mental health services, including provider shortages and transportation challenges, but resources are available. This event aims to bridge those gaps by connecting families directly with resources and starting conversations that reduce stigma and offer support, she wrote. The Vermilion County Behavioral Health Network, in partnership with other organizations, will be hosting an event to commemorate Children's Mental Health Awareness Day from 4 to 6 p.m. on Thursday at the Danville Library. There will be mental health and substance use providers, an autism sensory van, and information about a new ABA agency coming to the area, as well as screening information. There will also be help in navigating the Vermilion County Network of Behavioral Health Services. For years, we've been promised services for our kids that never seem to reach the families who need them most, Ryan said. This event is our way of saying, families deserve better, and we're here to make sure they know what's available and how to get it. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for May 5th. And the first today is for Cheryl Lynn Keenest. Cheryl Lynn Keenest, 75, of Danville, Illinois, passed away on May 3rd, 2026, at Goldwater Care in Danville, Illinois. A funeral service will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on Friday, May 8th, 2026, at Trinity Lutheran Church at 824 East Main Street in Danville, Illinois. Pastor Kent Tibben will officiate. Burial will be in the Lutheran Cemetery in Danville, and visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, May 7, 2026, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville at 3940 North Vermilion Street. Memorials may be made in Cheryl's memory to Trinity Lutheran Church. Tony Meeker. Tony Lynn Meeker, 58, of Danville, died Tuesday, April 28, 2026, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of life will be scheduled at a later date. Mortvet Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is handling the arrangements. Joan Robinson. Joan A. Robinson, 85, of Danville, died Friday, May 1st, 2026, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street in Danville. Floyd Shepherd. Floyd, or Dave Shepherd, 79, of Danville, died Friday, May 1st, at the Havens of Paris in Paris, Illinois. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Mortvet Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Lawrence Weger. Lawrence Weger, 73, of Danville, died Sunday, May 3rd, at Goldwater Care. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Mortvet Funeral Services Crematory in Tilton. Louise Whiteman. Louise Whiteman, 98, of Georgetown, died Sunday, May 3rd, 2026, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And that's the end of the obituaries for today. Returning to the commercial news or some local stories, we have a staff report next titled Danville Circle K sells winning Powerball ticket. While two fortunate Powerball players in Indiana and Kansas matched all six numbers in Wednesday night's drawing to split a whopping $143 million jackpot, several Illinois Lottery players are also celebrating major wins. In a rare outcome, four Illinois Lottery players each won prizes of $1 million or more in a single Powerball drawing, an unusually high number of big winners for the state in one night. One lucky Illinois player won a $2 million prize by matching five numbers and adding the game's Power Play feature. The winning ticket was purchased at Circle K, located at 401 West Main Street in Danville. When our lottery representative told me we sold the $2 million winning Powerball ticket, I almost fainted, said Melissa Norwood, store manager at Circle K in Danville. This is the largest winning ticket we've ever sold. Everyone here is beyond excited, and we're eager to find out who the winner is. Hopefully a regular local customer. Additionally, three Illinois players each won $1 million prizes by matching five numbers. All three winning tickets were purchased at gas stations. The winning numbers for the Wednesday, April 29th drawing were 3, 19, 35, 51, 67, with Powerball 15. Next we have another staff report. This one is titled Beef House Dinner Theater Celebrates Its 30th Season. Covington, Indiana. The Beef House Dinner Theater is celebrating its 30th season with a walk down memory lane at Beef House on Broadway. This musical review will feature over 40 Broadway and jukebox hits from the past 30 seasons of BHDT shows. Logan Kirby and Keena Clark lead a talented cast of singers, including Noah Acree, Nancy Henderson, Keisha Mays, Kayla Dillman, Lainey Ferriman, Jennifer Woodrow, and Brian Zecker. The cast is accompanied by a live band featuring Jeff Davis on piano, Chris Taylor on guitar, Todd Gallagher on bass, and Aaron Buslaug playing drums. Guests will enjoy classic Broadway showstoppers from Guys and Dolls, Oklahoma, Million Dollar Quartet, 9 to 5, Brigadoon, Nonsense, and many more, as well as jukebox hits from Johnny Cash, the Honky Tonk Angels, Elvis, the Righteous Brothers, Gladys Knight, Patsy Cline, Frank Sinatra, and others. Beef House on Broadway opens with a matinee performance on May 7th, followed by an evening show on May 8th. Doors open for dinner at 6 p.m. for the evening show with an 8 p.m. show. For the matinee, doors open at 12:30 p.m. or lunch, and the show begins at 2 p.m. All times are Eastern, and a buffet meal is served after doors open until 15 minutes prior to showtime. All seats are $72 and include show, buffet dinner, salad, famous Beef House rolls, soft drink, dessert, tax, and fees. Group rates are also available for groups of 20 or more. For reservations, visit www.beefhouserolls.com or you can call the box office at 217-499-5355. The Beef House is located at Exit 4 off Interstate 74 at State Road 63 near Covington, Indiana. And turning to the sports pages, we have the following items by Marvin Holman from the local roundup. Starting with Westville. Westville baseball defeats Schlarman. After a strong weekend, the Westville baseball team started the week on Monday with a 14-4 win over Schlarman Academy. Matt Darling had three hits and two RBIs for the Tigers, while Alec Davis had four RBIs, Christian Giles had two RBIs, and Easton Barney, Ben Johnson, Gavin Long, Kipton Apple, Owen Atwood, and Landon Jones each had one RBI. Jarius Atkinson had two hits with a home run and two RBIs for the Hilltoppers, while Miles Crosby had two hits and an RBI. The Tigers were coming off their round-robin event on Saturday, where they defeated Casey Westfield 5-3 and Gibson City Melvin Sibley 7-4. Johnson had two hits and two RBIs against Casey Westfield, while Giles and Apple each had one RBI, and Barney had two hits. Barney had two hits and three RBIs against GCMS, while Johnson had two RBIs, Apple had two hits and an RBI, and Darling had an RBI. In Danville, Peoria Notre Dame 6, Danville 4. The Vikings tried to battle back, but could not find a way to beat the Irish. Marvin Davis had two hits and two RBIs for Danville, while Liam Enyart and Javen Wilson each had a hit. Alex McCown had three strikeouts in taking the loss for the Vikings, who are now 6-15, and will face Normal West on Wednesday. In Hoopston, Cruz Dubois had three hits and two RBIs, as the Blue Devils shut out the Corn Jerkers. Drew Dubois had three RBIs, while Landon Packard had two hits and three RBIs. Mason Brines had two hits and two RBIs. Braxton Schmidt, Mason Clapp, and Jaden Peters each had two hits. Clark Warren had two hits and an RBI, and Dayton Dew and Riker Dew and Carson Fritz each had one RBI. Zach Hukel, Dallas Shepard, and Fletcher Swartz each had a hit for Hoopston area. And in prep softball, Charleston defeated Danville 14-12. In the senior night, the Lady Vikings lost a close decision to Charleston. Ava Foster had three hits and two RBIs for Danville, while Kira Thompson had two hits and two RBIs. Olivia Skaggs had two RBIs. Peyton Byth, Kaylee Alia, and Deanna Linares each had one RBI, and Paisley Bean had two hits. The Lady Vikings were coming off of a 19-0 win over Peoria, as Alia had four RBIs with 11 strikeouts on the mound. Skaggs had two hits and three RBIs. Amaya Romero, Imani Hughes, Ana Hernandez, and Gabby Moore each had an RBI. Danville is 9-11 and will face Bloomington today. And finally, from the Community Briefs page, we have the following items. Catlin Library hosts used book sale. The Catlin Public Library is holding a used book sale until June 6th. Hardbacks and paperbacks, nonfiction, fiction, children's books are all available for purchase. The cost of the books is a monetary donation supporting our programs. The Catlin Public Library is open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday and Friday, and 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday. For more information, contact the Catlin Public Library at 217-427-2550. And additional details are available on the Catlin Public Library Facebook page. And the Hoopston Public Library, located at 110 North 4th Street in Hoopston, is holding a spring plant swap. Located in the upstairs main reading room, our seed library offers free flower, veggie, and herb seeds to get your garden started. If you have extra or leftover seeds, you leave them to share with others in the community. Additionally, if you have a leftover seedling or perennial that needs thinned, and you would like to share them, there will be a cart near the seed library for those donations as well. For more information, contact the library at 217-283-6711. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, May 5th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it has been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.